from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I'm sorry about this afternoon.
Please, everyone be quiet.
Afternoons on the Score.
Thursday, we're going to the Strawberry Creek, the golf outing, a team event. That should be fun. I'll go over that in the team meeting. It's not all golf, so there's a little bit of soccer there. Simo.
With all the new faces, head coach Matt Eberflus took the squad to the club at Strawberry Creek for a little team bond.
Here we go, boys.
Our theme for this year was golf.
It's a good theme if the outing's at a golf course.
But, coach, if we kill all the golfers,
someone throw away the key. Gophers.
Oh, the Gophers.
Yeah,
I get it.
We could do that.
That's a fun movie.
So what?
So let's dance.
Daniel Norris is always right.
He is.
About the movies.
He is.
That's amazing. So Strawberry Creek, Jay Hilgenberg's place up there.
There you go.
Must have been. I wonder how they got access. Wonder how the Bears got access to that.
Our theme for this year was golf.
It's a good theme.
It's a great theme.
Absolutely. So
theme for what?
the golf outing.
Oh yeah,
the theme for the golf outing.
All right. So what is all this stuff from? That is from it's not Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks because that's not out.
We don't
yet.
Have Hard Knocks. Very good.
Thanks,
Hard
buddy.
Knocks.
Yeah Hard Knocks is not out yet. Can't get anything by you.
That's right. August 6th is so, not today.
You're so sharp.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
Thank you, sir. No, if you, it feels like Kevin Warren's influence kind of ramping up the 1920 football drive content, the in-house Bears production, in conjunction with Say Yes to Hard Knocks, it feels like there has been some sort of shift of, we don't have to hide our product anymore.
It's a lovely, lovely shift.
We should be proud of our product, so we'll show it to people. Whether or not they got Hard Knocks, since Kevin Warren got there, they were going to do more of their own stuff. Ryan Poles mic'd up during the draft, behind the scenes with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. Like, we've gotten little nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not damning. It's not scandalous. It's curated. It's controlled by the team. But we have gotten more in the last, what, draft was in April? In the last 4 months, then I feel like we've gotten of the whole Mitch Trubisky era.
Yeah,
behind the scenes, the Bears giving you a glimpse type of content.
And it's definitely a modernization of the public profile and the willingness to let folks in. And it's probably been, you know, a couple of regimes in Ryan Pace. And helming the remodeling and the remaking of everything up there at Hallis Hall. God, he was so proud of that. And, you know, Ryan Poles is certainly not camera shy and enjoys sharing some stuff about how they do things. And now here's Kevin Warren, and it's smart. It's certainly a way to drive people to your website and have interest in your football team.
Well, and exactly. And I think also, get used to it, man. Like, this year will be Hard Knocks. Okay, great. Next year, some other team will be on Hard Knocks. Maybe next year, for year two of Caleb, they do their own mini version of it. They produce some sort of, you know, 10-minute digital shorts or something like that to keep doing the content. Like this, there's an appetite for the appearance of access, even if it isn't really crazy access. We do get stuff from it. So let's just go through some of it here from 1920 Football Drive. Here's Flus's OTA arrival speech.
Hey, I appreciate you being here. You know, I know you guys don't have to be this. It's voluntary, and I understand that. And everybody here appreciates you doing this, okay? Because this is a big time for us. As you guys can see, made some big moves, right? This team is a different football team, and the time is now for us. At the end of this, guys, in February, there's going to be one of 32 teams, one, that had a winning season. Just one. And we have everything in this room, everything I'm telling you right now, to get that done. But it comes down to what? Preparation.
So, yeah, the one team with a winning season, that's the Super Bowl winner, that's it. If you're not first, you're last. He's got the Ricky Bobby face.
Right, you're right.
It's about preparation.
Preparation.
H.
You inspired? You enthusiastic about that speech?
Not really, actually, no.
Okay.
No, that didn't, if anything, that dampened my enthusiasm.
Bernstein even has become a little bit more enthusiastic on some of the look, how he looks and the stuff he's saying. I'm like, I feel like it's just that the news around him has gotten so much better that we like what he's saying more.
That's so cynical.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Team played well down the stretch.
Good.
Played hard for the man.
By the way,
good vibes. Got a togetherness thing going on that Montez Sweat knows about. I saw it on the last episode of That's Montez.
I'm saying I'm not letting a designer hoodie, an improved haircut, make me feel like that what he says stuff.
That is an insult to me.
That is different.
I am not influenced by the designer hoodie and the improved haircut.
But that's now, an insult to Bernstein then.
Okay,
he is.
Yeah, well, that's good. But you know I'm all for that. So the vodka tonic down there on the ground between the legs as he and Matt LaFleur sat there and watched a basketball game.
Yeah.
Yes, it was all a good look and everything like that. But no, I think Flus is, he's just a football dude. He's just a football dude and tries to be a leader of men in a football sense. And you can survive just fine with people like that if you've got good enough talent.
Well, we know he's a nickname giver.
Mm.
Dragon Slayer.
All right, mate, go. Let's go, man. Let's go. Spidey. Hey, man. Every play's your play to make.
Yes,
you know that. Let's go. Dragon Slayer. Ooh. There he is, man.
Mako, Spidey, and Dragon Slayer in the secondary.
Well, there's so many. The governor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, but
that was DeBlago, though.
He said that to Rob. Hey, Governor, I saw you removed all those toilets out of your house. Looking for a tax break?
Governor, how was prison? It could be for anybody.
You're going to need one toilet there, Governor.
A lot of options.
A lot of options.
Hey, but, Dan Rostenkowski, what's up, man?
Hey, Verdoliak, how you doing?
Hey, that's Verdoliak Law to you.
But his nickname for Roma Dunze needs work.
Romo Dunze. Good?
Good.
All right. How was your first time out the huddle?
It was good, man. We went out the huddle a little bit, so.
Yep.
I got a little bit of experience with it.
Not much, though.
Not much.
Hey, I didn't hear a nickname.
Hey, real quick, that's just his name.
Romo Dunze.
Yeah, you need to do a little better than that.
He's just stretching it.
Romo Dunze.
Danny can do that in Adobe Audition.
Hey, he's working it out, all right? He's workshopping it.
Romo Dunze.
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 Romo. 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 Romo Arigato.
Like, we could have called him Spartacus.
Romo Cop.
Like something to do,
yeah.
Something to do with Rome.
Gladiator.
Sure. Romo
Gladiator.
Cop. What's up, Romo Cop? He's got to go with that. I'm going to go ahead and predict that. Next
Romo
time.
Dunze.
Romo Dunze.
In fairness to Flus, it is a fun name to say.
Romo
it's
Dunze.
It's a cool name.
You don't need a nickname when your name is Romo Dunze.
It's a really cool name.
I think that's true.
I did think that interaction was funny, though, because Rome's like, oh, yeah, I played out of the huddle, and Flus is like, yeah, not enough.
Romo Dunze. Good?
Good.
All right. How was your first time out the huddle?
It was good, man. We went out the huddle a little bit, so.
Yep.
I got a little bit of experience with it.
Not much, though.
Not much.
Romeo and Juliet, how you doing? Yeah.
Flus like, I didn't watch your college film. That's Pulse. I really just assumed because you play at a Pac-12 school that you didn't work out of the huddle. I don't know.
Romo Dunze.
Roam around the world. Roam if you want to. Roam Alaska. Row, row, roam your boat. He's working it out.
It's training camp for all of us. It's OTAs for everybody. He's got to get it out before the Hard Knocks cameras get there. This is just 1920 football drive.
Rome damn tide. No, that doesn't work.
America's going to fall in love with Matt Eberflus.
Yes, he's going to win Coach of the Year.
Yes.
He's going to win it.
He is going to be America's sweetheart.
Oh, God.
He is? Why is it a bad thing?
It's not.
It's a good thing. All right. You're just not as enthusiastic as we are.
That's right.
How about Wani trying to say it yesterday?
Oh, he loved it. Wani loved it. Oh, Spinks, yeah. So I'm going to give it to him.
Put that on a shirt.
Now.
I saw some guy on national TV talking about, like, he doesn't think Eberflus is going to win Coach of the Year, but thinks the Bears will be in the playoffs and Caleb Rookie of the Year.
You know what's up with those national guys.
They're just not informed.
Out of town stupid.
There it is.
Yeah. They don't care about the local markets.
Yeah. Was it
surface level.
Was it from L.A.? Was it from a show from L.A.?
It was one of those L.A. shows. Yeah. There was palm trees in the background.
Guy in a tan.
So plastic. Dude with a tan. Probably wearing like a light blue shirt.
Right.
Like a bright.
He was talking about Rodeo Drives. Like, yeah, I'm going to go shopping on Rodeo Drive.
Was his sidekick a blonde woman? I was just like.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing a minute out of break. This is so L.A.
So L.A.
And there was like a divider between him and Skip Bayless, and I could not figure out why. Like, it's the same studio, bro.
God.
His hair looked good, if I remember.
Oh, it was you?
Oh my God.
Danny Parkin.
Shirt made his eyes pop? Is that what people are saying?
Danny Parkin.
Fantastic.
Danimal.
Dandy Danny.
Seriously, figure it out, though. Roma Dunze, that's not a nickname.
Roam your boat. I'm telling you, that's where he's going, something like that.
It's probably their first day they were filming that. It seemed like it was their first interaction ever, so.
Yeah, exactly. Coach, I'm the receiver for your football team.
Oh, yeah, you play on the other side. That's right.
You could be at safety.
you should be Shane.
Yeah, you look like you'd be a good corner. You ever think about that? Good future.
Eric Washington, going to get to know him a bit this year. He's got a new project on the defensive line. Fifth-round pick from Kansas, Austin Booker.
The athleticism of Austin Booker, just his athleticism and length and his ability to challenge the edge of the protection, really excited to see that. But right now, he's got a great attitude. He's a sponge. He's also assertive. There's a part of him that's really, really competitive where he's not going to, you know, wait his turn, or he's not going to be meek about the entire process. He believes he belongs out there.
It's cool, man. Eric Washington's a dude I'm very interested in getting to know, listening to the new defensive coordinator, who, as you've been pointing out, Danny, is known as a dude who is able to coach people up, specifically on the defensive line. In Buffalo, they loved the coaching he did on the defensive line. He's got some projects on this team.
There are no perfect football teams, and it is the position group on the team that is the least proven. You have Montez Sweat and a bunch of guys who are unproven at various levels of service.
Billings, I think, is proven. Billings, I mean,
not a serviceable player.
Not a classically important position in terms of highlights and high end ceiling, but an important position.
That is a fair correction. I guess I would just say, in terms of. If you were going to say going in that the defensive line is a strength, or it was a top five or 10 defensive line in football, Andrew Billings would not be a top four defensive lineman on a great defensive line. He is a serviceable veteran. You know,
either way, your point is valid, certainly, because they need Jervon Dexter to develop. They need DeMarcus Walker to play over his...
Pickens?
They need Zach Pickens to step forward, and they need Austin Booker to step forward. There's got to be some coaching that's going on with these young projects here.
So they need one of these guys to overachieve. I heard Stud saying that he was a big Jervon Dexter guy.
No way.
I know. It's shocking. He's bullish on a Bears player. I know. It's very surprising, Danny. Alert Cody Westerland. Get it on the website right away. Adam Stadzinski, high on a Bears player. But
I just tune in for his takes on Marvel. Superheroes and what kind of costumes they wear.
But that is the obvious one. He's the highest pedigree player on the defensive line other than Montez Sweat. He's a second round pick.
What week is Eric Washington's scandal and resignation? When is that?
that's hopefully a thing of the past.
They schedule that stuff? Yeah. Is that week 5 this year? Because last year was earlier than that.
Well, Peanut Tillman was already in the building, so I don't know.
Oh boy! Let the rumors fly.
Oh boy. Was anyone crying? Here is Peanut Tillman's speech according to 1920 Football Drive.
Peanut Tillman's a special guy. He's a great role model for everybody. The messaging that he gives to our guys is really good. I've had him every year come to speak to the rookies, and he's done a phenomenal job.
How's everybody doing?
Let me be the first of many to congratulate you on this accomplishment. You guys have spent many a late nights, workouts, running, the combine and everything else, lifting weights to get to this point. And you've worked really hard to get here. Now the work really starts. I want to make it abundantly clear that you are fighting for a position. There's 53 spots on this team. My advice to you all, work hard, be accountable, run toward criticism. Let me say that again. Run toward criticism. You're going to make a ton of mistakes. The best thing that you can do is go up to that coach. Hey, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? How can I be better? Coaches love that. I'm telling y'all, that's the cheat code of getting on the field. This city is special. We have been yearning for a draft class like this. It takes a lot or a special type of player to be a Chicago Bear. The best thing you can do is want to win for the person next to you. When y'all believe that, that's when you know you got something special. Be a good teammate. Be a good teammate. Be a good teammate. Be a good teammate. Differences are what make champions, not the similarities. And the biggest difference is how we think. Champions think differently.
Man, there's a lot of good stuff
in
there.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, teams do this all the time. They bring back legends to talk to the team to tell them why it matters to be a Falcon, why it matters to be a Seahawk, why it matters to be a Bear. But it's hard to imagine too many guys who are better pure ambassadors. Certainly better players, first ballot Hall of Famers, whatever, but like better true ambassadors for the Bears than Peanut Tillman. That was awesome.
There's some great stuff. I love telling the players, go up to coaches and ask them, what do I have to do to be better? That's a cheat code for getting on the field. That's so cool because it appeals to the naturally selfish and careerist tendencies of the athletes themselves, but also creates that dynamic where the coach is like, all right, great, you need to work on this, and then you will get better, and then you will get on the field. That's just awesome. As a dad of a 12-year-old trying to motivate him on the daily for all sorts of things, you know, I love hearing that stuff.
Seeking feedback is tough. I've been doing these TV appearances. I don't have my 10,000 hours. Not that I'm perfect as a radio host by any stretch of the imagination, but like I certainly at least have
disagree.
Thank you, Tanny. Have the experience with it, and I crave feedback around here. But every time after these TV shows, I'm like, hey, was that good? Please tell me if that wasn't good. What could I do better? Like, guys are the experts. Please tell me. Don't just be like, hey, good job. Like, please give me something to think about.
Totally agree. Last year after doing the 3 Cubs games for me, I had Benetti on an episode of the PBP. I'm playing clips for him and saying, help me out here. Just did the games, you know, but it's like you gotta work and try to get better and make your weaknesses your strengths. That's absolutely how you get better.
Or even just make them not weaknesses.
Sure.
Right. Just get to replacement level on something that's a weakness, and that's a huge improvement.
So, you know, the same word in Japanese for crisis is opportunity, right? I like that one. I've always liked that one.
That's not great. I mean, people say things about our language, but that's not a good thing to. You should not have the same word for both of those two things.
No, the Japanese word for crisis also means opportunity. Like, I like that. But I read a good one the other day. Reading Marcus Aurelius these days. The great,
it's in the sauce.
One of the Stoicism, the godfather of Stoicism. Obstacles are fuel. I know. We're living with a pizza joke.
I'm living with the fact that Tanny liked it so much he made physical contact with Shane.
He beat me to it.
I saw him reach for his mic button. I was like, no way, dude. This one's mine.
I know they're very close. Sorry. I don't know how often they physically touch each other.
I'll take my honest life lessons to somewhere else.
No, I like it. I mean, I read about Stoicism.
I know
Marcus Aurelius.
I know you like the Stoicism. Yes. So obstacles are fuel.
I saw the Godfather of Stoicism at where did I see him at?
Come on,
the Aragon.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Surprised he could draw a crowd that big.
It was a long time ago. I forgot.
Yeah.
As you guys know, I'm doing a really, really bad job with Stoicism. By the way, I'm reading a ton about it and I've retained nothing.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Stop paying attention to other people. Nope, can't do it.
See what that guy said about me over there 5 years ago? Let me hold on to that.
Keep working at it, though.
Yeah, keep working at it.
Never cheese.
Takes a little while.
That's really good. You want Keenan Allen mic'd up?
I do.
Let's do it.
Keenan Allen is really an interesting, thoughtful adult. He's a vet, as DJ Moore liked to call him.
I pledged when I was 9 years old. Forever play football.
Now that you're 45.
Now that I'm 45 years old, we still rocking how I'm rocking.
It'll be fun.
So
little veteran, old head.
So good.
Playing for another contract, playing for respect. Chargers asked him to take a pay cut, wouldn't do it. Bears not signing him to an extension. That'll motivate him.
Just give me a whole bunch of quick three-step drop slants and quick patterns to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Rome Odunze and let them work. Find whoever's one-on-one, and Caleb, don't put yourself in harm's way. Just quick hitters and let those playmakers dominate. Then things will open up based on that. Let's go.
Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Some truly hilarious suggestions were coming in on the text line on how to make baseball more entertaining. We can get to that as we continue on here. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I am actually doing a radio show with Parkinson Spiegel, and I wasn't particularly good. I mean, not that that's a new thing.
Afternoons on The Score.
Did you know that the delete button is used over 800,000 times a day in over 62 different languages? That's a lot of mistakes, or as I like to call them, opportunity stakes.
Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. So what do you got? What did the text? You were saving some texts from how we're going to fix this All-Star game. Not the All-Star game, excuse me. Theory is, even the best of the best, with the best presentation and the best players, still pretty boring product because the pitching and the velocity is just too tough to hit.
Yeah, and perhaps it's because it's the best of the best. It's the confluence of baseball's strategy these days with maximum velocity, maximum effort, and one inning at a time for the best pitchers, and then all of them being there at the All-Star game last night.
But it translates to regular season baseball
absolutely
games,
absolutely does. Yeah. Absolutely does. But last night, I, among others, found myself bored. And it was sad. So here are some of the suggestions. A couple people pushed back. You know, one person pushed back and said, I like that scoring is difficult. Makes it compelling. The three-run homer off a hard-throwing pitcher from Ohtani means more when you switch your outcome expectation. The beauty is in the rarity. And I agree with that in concept. I mean, it's true in baseball anyway. To me, it's as much stylistic with the home run or nothing outcome as it is with just the lack of scoring. It's a lack of activity, a lot
correct
of strikeouts and such.
Yeah, it's a lot of strikeouts. And so the solutions are tricky. Moving the mound back didn't work. Lower the mound?
I think here's one. It stands to reason that hitters' timings would be thrown off for a while when the mound first gets pushed back. Because as you mentioned, Boog had told you the other day that in the independent league, when they moved the mound back, that actually pitching numbers were even more impressive. But the texture says over time, the hitting would improve. I think that's likely. Once they eventually get used to the timing of having that extra split second.
You think it's the timing, or it's that the breaking stuff just can break more? because of the distance being greater. Like I'd have to. I didn't watch any independent league baseball. I don't. I guess I'd be a little surprised if it was the timing.
You don't care about the show. You don't care about the show.
I'd be like, I would think that a fastball would obviously be easier to hit because it would be slower, but I feel like the breaking stuff might be even harder to hit because the breaks could be more dramatic.
I just think when you're changing something like that, I mean, you're so used to, as a hitter, reacting from the release. Like, oh, there's the release. Now I better swing. But, it, if the mound's been moved back, it has to change. So I can see where that would take some time to adjust.
What about this radical one? Foul balls? They're not strikes.
What are they?
They're foul balls.
They're just foul balls.
Keep going.
Love that.
Just keep going.
That is the case with two strikes.
It is the case with two strikes.
But you mean that you don't even get a single strike for a foul ball?
Yeah, it's a 0-0 count. You hit a foul ball. The next pitch, 0-0 count.
You made contact.
That would help.
Get some credit for that.
That would help the hitter.
Yeah, you'd get in a lot more advantageous counts.
Here's the thing.
Have to get a lot of swings and misses to get a strikeout.
Put the ball on a tee. No pitchers. No pitchers at all.
All right.
Coach pitch.
That's an idea.
Pedro Grifols out there.
If we're going towards the ridiculous, how about this one? Eventually, in every game, every third inning will start with a runner on second. Like the Ghost Runner.
Oh, man.
That every three innings, you just throw a guy out there.
I mean, if we're going to the ridiculous, let's go to the south side and welcome Shad to the Parkinson Spiegel score. Go ahead, Shad, whatever. Score.
Glad I could be able to oblige.
Hello, hey, Shad.
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Solid.
I'm sorry. Hey. I'm going to give myself a timeout here. Go ahead.
Hey, look, man, I love your calmness, Danny. I need to go ahead and get me a 30 milligram of that. But anyway,
amen.
I'm going to say this. Speaks, let me say something.
Yeah.
If you want the All-Star game not to go the route of the Pro Bowl, then you got to basically tell every pitcher that's supposed to be the greatest in the world, throwing only fastballs. The hitter's got to swing at everything. And at that point, what I think you got is what you want. Matchup. Pitcher versus hitter. I think it's a realistic situation not to expect for professional guys not to be able to throw a fastball over the plate. So I think if you're throwing all strikes and you tell them they got to go up there and swing, you add an element where it's all about offense, not necessarily about these –
just challenge. Every single pitch is a fastball challenge. We'd get a lot more offense.
All right, so basically, we're ruling out curveballs and changeups. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shad. I kind
of
like it.
How about this? Reduce the amount of balls for a walk from 4 to either 3 or 2.
But walks are also boring. I don't like that. The point is, what can you do, like, bigger baseball, lighter bat, metal bat? What can you do to get the ball in play more?
Bigger bat barrels, smaller mitts, so there's a lot of those out there in terms of changing the equipment. And
allow
then,
cork.
But then this one, no one ever talks about lowering the seams on the baseball, cutting down on the movement quite a lot. Not sure about velocity. I'm not sure what the scientific effect on lowering the seams would be on a fastball, but certainly on the breaking ball, I think you would indeed lower some spin rate.
I mean, lowering the seams would just make a faster fastball.
Well,
less resistance. Like, you're just going to be able to throw the ball harder.
Well, and how are the pitchers going to hold the ball if they can't use sticky stuff and they have no seams?
Yeah, well.
You think arm injuries are bad now?
How about no walks?
No walks? Would that be less offense?
No, more. But, like, pitchers are encouraged to throw a ball closer to the strike zone for someone to get contact.
I think the answer,
no walks.
I think the answer is in the strike zone. I genuinely think the answer is in the strike zone.
Shrinking the strike zone?
Normalizing it. And shrinking it.
Yeah.
And we got the big news yesterday from Rob Manfred that next spring, 2025, they're probably going to try out the automated balls and strike system at spring training.
Oh, yeah, we'll see.
And then 2026 is very much on the table as the debut of an automated balls and strike system. And if they can get the tech lined up, normalizing and shrinking the strike zone, and then you don't have to deal with... All right, who's the ump today? What do we got here? What are they going to do? Like, oh, now that's a strike? And yeah, I think that would go a long way towards increasing the contact possibilities.
They've been doing it for 4 years at the minor league level. Like, it's ready. Just implement. And I know you can't because of the CBA, but just implement.
Well, no, they can, right? Wasn't the thing that the players actually don't have... the veto power over the rules changes?
I thought there were some caveats, no, and strike zone was one of them. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, you might be right, but I thought
I might be crazy.
Thank you.
I don't think the players have veto power. I think the league can just do it. That's what happened the last go around of these league rule changes.
With the pitch clock and stuff like that.
They got their thoughts and their input on it, but then they said, "Oh yeah, we're doing this," and the players did not have any say.
What about each team gets to pick one defensive player for the other team that can't wear a glove?
I'll take the shortstop.
All right, maybe it can't be an infielder.
First base.
Because of danger.
The catcher.
Yeah, the pitcher. Yeah. He's not going to rear back as hard, you know, if he can't defend himself after chucking it. You know what I mean? He
turns around and runs.
Yeah.
He can't hide the grip on the ball.
No, the catcher. I think
Tanny said pitcher, though. I'm saying pitcher can't hide the grip on the ball.
All right, one guy.
First base is amazing. There's ground ball. Throw to first. Boy, that's a soft throw. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
How about every inning you get to pick a position that doesn't have a fielder at it?
How about
makes a guy like PCA a lot more valuable?
I got an idea.
Cover more ground.
How about the hitters get a buzzer inside their shirt?
Ooh, bad tattoo.
and you know, you buzz it if something's if a fastball is coming. Either that or just real loud trash cans that teams can bang.
I stand by segment one.
He got an unfinished tattoo on his collarbone right here.
Yeah, okay.
That
yeah.
Honestly looked terrible. It was a bad tattoo.
Yeah, sounds good.
Look, I think loser. It's a combination of things, and I think we will see a couple of things. And one of them, Texter says, reduce the number of pitchers on a roster to 11. Yes, I'm all for it immediately. Absolutely.
When Council said he wasn't, did you get the sense that it was because he didn't think it would work or because he just doesn't want to be out there publicly as taking away the jobs of some of his pitchers?
I got the latter. I got in terms of like, no, this is what we're dealing with. And also that he's kind of defending what has become the pervasive groupthink, which is to use all these different relievers for the right part of the order, for the right matchup, and in short bursts, one inning at a time, essentially, maybe four outs, maybe five outs. You get 11 pitchers on a roster, then you will get guys left in to deal with a second inning. Some of them even a third inning. They'll have to be bulk guys. Then they take at least one day off or even 2 days off, and you're hampered. But, I mean, then your starters have to go deeper. And then when the starters know they have to go deeper, they're not unloading with everything they have in the first couple innings. They're pitching more. They're mixing up their speed and their location more and trying to make guys miss. And you'll get more variety and nuance, which should lead to more contact in the game.
The coolest thing from last night's game, at least for my money, is coming to Wrigley Field in just a few weeks. I'm very excited for it. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Chris, Mad Dog, Russo.
You guys are the best. The both of you.
Afternoons on the score.
Tonight at Globe Life Field, and in unison with fans and supporters watching at home, we deliver a powerful message as we join our partners, Stand Up to Cancer and MasterCard, in reaffirming a commitment to the fight against cancer. Major League Baseball, together with our fans, players, coaches, and umpires are united in our determination to defeat this disease for our friends, our families, and our communities. We all stand together. Let's go to Kevin Burkhardt, who's with CC Sabathia, for more on what MasterCard is doing in the fight against cancer.
Joe, thanks so much. CC, I know you've been affected by cancer personally. When you look around this stadium tonight, seeing everyone standing up to cancer, what does that mean to you?
Oh, it's special. You know, like you said, it's something I've dealt with my family, and to see everybody here supporting this great cause, it feels good.
It's one of the truly great philanthropic moments in American professional sports during the All-Star Game and the World Series, when they stop the game and everybody in the stands has the placard and they stand up for someone with cancer, either someone who is currently going through their cancer journey or had passed away, themselves. And it's not just the fans. The broadcasters stand, the players stand, the manager stand, the umpires stand. Everybody does it. And if people do not know, it's very cool. I've been working on this for a long, long, long time. August 17th. So 1 month from today is the first time that that moment that you saw at the All-Star game last night will be at a local ballpark. It's going to be at Wrigley Field for Cubs Blue Jays on August 17th. It's a part of the Cubs for a Cure weekend that we are partnering here at the Score with our partners over at the Chicago Cubs. And 4 weeks from tomorrow, the Radiothon is back. August 15th to the 16th, doing the 24-hour broadcast with all of the money going towards cancer research, either through Stand Up to Cancer, one of the largest cancer research charities in the world, and Brain Up, the local brain cancer research charity right here in Chicago that I'm on the board of directors of. And been working on this for a long, long time. But if people want to go to the game and you're like, I've never been to that, that's a cool moment. I want to honor someone with cancer. I want to do that, but I'm not going to go to an All-Star game or a World Series. Get your ticket for August 17th, and it's going to happen at Wrigley Field. It's going to be really, really cool.
That's really cool. I didn't realize it's the first time it's ever been done at a local ballpark. They've done it at the World Series. They've done it at All-Star games.
Yep, it's never. That's where they've done it because it's the official charity partner of Major League Baseball. But Crane Kenny had the idea. He's like, I want to bring this to Wrigley. And he approached me with, do you want to partner up with basically his ballpark, our Radiothon, and do a big thing? And so we've been working on it since, I mean, last July was when we got the idea. So it'd been over a year at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been really ramping up the last, but I mean, so Rhino is going to be in studio telling his story. Jameson Taillon's going to be on the show on the station. It's one big show. It's 24 hours telling his story. We're hoping that John Lester will be in. There's a bunch of celebrities that have expressed some interest in coming on. There's doctors, some of the best oncologists in the world work right here at some of the Chicago area hospitals. They're going to be coming on to talk about the value of research in the brain cancer field. Current patients, both pediatric and families of patients and the whole thing. It's going to be, I'm hopeful, knock on wood, largest fundraiser in the history of this radio station. Goal's $1 million. So it's going to be pretty huge, man. It's going to be pretty huge.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cubs for a Cure. August 17th, if you want to go to the game, the 15th to the 16th, the Score is going to sound a little different. We're going to be raising money for cancer research.
So 24 hours of Danny Parkins. You'll be sitting in with every show
yep.
as per the Radiothon ethos, and you'll be wide awake for 24 hours. Overnight's back
Overnights are back for this. So it starts at 10 a.m. on the 15th. I think Dan is moving Jason back into college, so it'll be Lawrence and I from 10 to 2. You and me 2 to 6. I think Haw is also out, so me and Mully finishing it in the morning, and then the nights and overnights are still being worked out, but I know that Mark Grody has committed to doing the Les Grobstein overnight shift as well. But we're going to have, I mean, everyone is chipping in. It's been a great, unbelievable team effort. And, you know, there is still time, though. If your company wants to get involved, it's like one of the one days that it's not really about advertising and that sort of thing. But so we're looking for more dollar-for-dollar sponsors. You could sponsor an hour, you get your company's name out there a whole bunch of times. I mean, Russ Armstrong has stepped up. Jeffrey Lamort Salons has stepped up. Bunch of local businesses. Matt Doherty, good people over there at Four Corners, they've stepped up in a big way. So we got some great Chicago institutions that are stepping up. And David Hochberg, of course, being generous, donated a suite to the Hawks game. So we're going to have opportunities for tickets and experiences and autograph memorabilia, opportunities for your donation to be doubled through corporate match. It's going to be a pretty big event, man. I'm really
That's
looking
awesome.
Forward to doing it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know how hard you've been working on it and how passionate you are about it, and it'll be a really, really cool day of radio, and then that should be a very memorable Saturday there at Wrigley Field.
And they're doing the Cubs are donating the 50-50 raffle proceeds. There's going to be special merchandise, and they're going to be wearing different shirts and different cleats and like the whole thing. The Cubs are blowing, they're using all of the power of Wrigley Field and the Cubs for this Cubs for a Cure weekend. And it'll just how you listen to the Score. It'll be on the Odyssey app, the Score, YouTube, Twitch. So I mean, we're turning over the power of this radio station. And you, the Score audience, the Score heads, like, We're going to try. This is going to be one of the biggest philanthropic days, hopefully, that any media outlet in the history of the city has ever done. So August 15th to the 16th, you can DM me if you want to get involved, or there's a Gmail address, 670radiothon@gmail.com. So we're going to be raising a ton of money for cancer research, 670radiothon@gmail.com.
Very, very cool. Yep. Love that the Cubs are involved and on board and in the full way as a partner.
Yeah, no, they've been unbelievable. Really could not ask for more as partners in this. A couple of pieces of Bears news coming out of rookie training camp reports. Kieran Amagaje, the third round pick, has been placed on the non-football injury list. You remember his college season was cut short where he had, I think it was a quad injury. He had surgery to repair a torn quad. Mm-hmm. So he is on the non-football injury list designation at this point. And then Mike Florio is reporting on Caleb Williams' contract.
Yeah, he's been chasing this story all day. And it initially had earlier in the day that Caleb was trying to have a deal where the Bears could not use the franchise tag on him at the end of the deal. And that didn't work. But we're also now told via Florio that multiple sources told PFT an attempt to get Williams paid as an LLC, as his own small company. The collective bargaining agreement doesn't seem to foreclose it, but the league decided that it does. So there was another approach where they were looking to be paid. Caleb was looking to be paid as a forgivable loan, which would have resulted in Caleb getting the money tax-free until the loan was forgiven, as many as 10 years into the future. The Bears, though, also nixed that idea. So this was the delay, was Caleb pushing at various different ideas, trying to creatively make this a unique contract and use whatever leverage the number one overall pick thought that he had.
That's really smart, the LLC part. You have an LLC, right?
I do have an LLC. It's called, you know what it's called? Good Vibes, babe.
Amazing.
It's true.
Mine is the game is the game.
There you go.
Yeah, LLC.
So, and as an LLC, you can get paid to do, you know, I use it for Tributosaurus stuff. I use it for all sorts of other things. And then you deal with your tax attorney and you file things the right way. And it can be advantageous, obviously.
Yeah, with LLC, S-Corps, things like that. I mean, there's benefits for your kids, for things from like company cars, different things like that. So that's a pretty smart idea.
Shane, what's your LLC, by the way? Yeah, you never told me.
Thank you for asking. It's Shane's Massive Meat.
LLC.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Danny? Sam?
Yeah, just having a lot of fun and making a lot of money. Incorporated.
That's long. That's a lot of characters.
It's wordy, you know, but it's what I do.
Yeah. Speegs has come up with a new game. I love to pick a player. Speaks is going to lead us through an exercise of pluck a player next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.